And we'll begin just with the last few psukim in Paragimel, Shmuel Aleph, Paragimel. Pasuk Yutet. The Navi says, Vayigdal Shmuel, Vashem haya imo, ulo yipil mikol dvarav arza. Vayeda kol Yisrael bidam yad Beersheba, ki neeman Shmuel benavi Vashem. Let's read one more pasuk. Vayosef Hashem leiro'o b'shilo, ki nigla Hashem el Shmuel b'shilo, yidvar Hashem. So, on this pasuk, pasuk Yutet, Vayigdal Shmuel Vashem haya imo, ulo yipil mikol dvarav arza. It's not clear, at least the pasuk does not reveal to us the content of Kol Dvarav, the words that were realized. However, there's a Rambam in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah. The Rambam writes in Perek Yud, Halachot Aleph and Bet, following: Kol Navi she'amod banu, v'yomar she'Hashem shlacho, is a Navi who contends that Hashem sent him on a particular mission, he was deputized. אינו צריך לעשות עוד כאחד מנתות משה רבנו או מנתות אליהו ואלישה שיש בהם שינוי מנהגו של עולם. There's no need for the Navi to go ahead and perform any kind of miracle, an overt miracle, which is of a supernatural nature. אלא האות שלו שאומר דברים העתידים להיות בעולם ויעמדו דבריו. Means he simply predicts X, Y, and Z, and his words either are going to come true, or they won't come true. And on that basis, the Navi is established as being a Navi. Lefikach, says the Rambam, Sheyavo Adam Haraui Lenvua B'Melachot Hashem, V'lo Yavo Lehosif V'lo Legroa, a Navi who comes, and he does not in any way add or detract, Ela La'avodet Hashem B'Mitzot HaTorah, Eino Mimlo Kral Lanu Hayam, Hachiyei Tamitim. You don't tell him to engage in Tchiyat Tamitim, or to split the sea, V'chayotzei Ba'ilu, V'achakach Na'amin Becha, just simply predict the future. That's what we tell a prospective potential Navi. Who Omer? And he does so. And then we wait to see whether his words will be realized. But they won't be realized. Even if there's one minor detail that he predicts that does not come to fruition, says the Rambam, b'yadua shenavi sheker. That's the sign he's not a true Nabi. Vim bo dvarav kulam, and if all of his words come to fruition, you be'ineinu ne'eman, then all of a sudden he takes on the category of a Nabi ne'eman, u'bolkim oto pamim havei, im yintzu dvarav ne'emanim, harei ze Nabi emet. And the source of the Rambam is this pasuk. Kmo she'ne'ema b'shmuel, v'yida kol Yisrael, midan v'yad Be'er-Sheva, ki ne'eman Shmuel l'Nabi l'Hashem. This is the Rambam's source for this particular halacha. And as the Rambam proves this din, the din of Bidikat Navi, Ne'eman, from this particular pasuk, and apparently we assume that, based on what the Rambam says here, that it wasn't a one-time situation, but it occurred on any number of occasions where Shmuel predicted that which was going to happen, and based on that, and that's probably the language here that's found in the text, the pasuk Yutet. Below he peeled mikol dvarav arza. It's a diuk in Loshon HaPasuk, which the Rambam apparently is medayek, and from that basis, vayedako Yisrael nidam v'yaber sheva, ki neman Shmuel v'nabi l'ashem. And the language, as I said, is very medayek. Below he peeled mikol dvarav arza. That one item that he predicted did not come to fruition. Furthermore, the Chazal actually comment, and this actually, we already saw this somewhat earlier, but the Rishonim speak about it here, the Rashi I saw, and Ibn Ezra. They point out that he became the Rabban Shel HaNeviim, you know, as often in the Tkufot of Chazal, we find Bnei Neviim, those individuals that were apprenticed to become Neviim, and actually were in training, and they were being guided and nurtured in the course of becoming Neviim. And the Yerushalmi says in Masech Chagiga that Shmuel actually became Rabban Shel Neviim. And this is the language also that's found here in Pasuk Kaf Aleph, which sort of sums up, Vayosef Hashem le'ro'o b'shilo, ki nigla Hashem el Shmuel b'shilo, bidvar Hashem. And interesting, notice the language of Shiloh the second time it is spelled. The first time the pasuk in Katalofi spells Shiloh properly. Yosef Hashem le'ro b'Shiloh, Shilamet Hei. And the second time, Kinigla Hashem el Shmuel b'Shiloh b'Dvar Hashem. It's spelled Shin Lamed Vav. Actually, I believe there is one other place also where you have. Yes, we did. That is correct. But I think it's also found later on as well in Sefer Yirmiyahu. In Yirmiyahu Anavi, you'll take a look for a moment in Perek Kaf Vav. If you look at Perek Kaf Vav, the 26th chapter of Yirmiyahu Anavi. Actually, there you have the spelling as it is properly spelled. There it's Shin Lamed Hei.
No, you have it.
But you have it in text. Correct. So I knew it was somewhere. Madu ani beisav b'shem Hashem limor ki shilo yi habayit hazeh v'ir hazot techavad mein yoshev ha'yitayel kol ha'am el Yirmiyahu v'beit Hashem. So there you have in Pasuk Tet the change as well from Shin Yud Lamed Hei and to Shin Lamed Vav. Apparently, this is what Rashi comments over here, that it's based actually on a Chazal, that now that Hashem is revealing Himself to Shmuel, He's doing so on an ongoing kind of basis. Ki nigla Hashem el Shmuel b'shiloh or b'shiloh kidva Hashem. It indicates a kind of permanence as far as the nevuah of Shmuel is concerned. Okay, just that was a comment just by way of introduction. To something I want to go back to, and perhaps first begin Perek Daled, and then refer to something, refer back to something in the end of the Perek Gimel as well, already which is noted by many.
The, yeah. How long are you supposed to wait for an obvious prediction? Like
the Rambam does not. There's no clearly. There's no particular number of times, but I assume it's sufficient times where the Navi is tested. It could very well be, it may be a function of a particular Navi, of the stature of a Navi. I don't believe there's any particular number of times.
How far out in the future do they predict? Like,
I don't think it makes a difference. Certainly not for the language of the Rambam. I just want to begin the beginning of Perek Daled.
I'm sorry, just
yeah.
How many things change, like by Yonah? So what was in was changed because they did Shuba.
No, there's no question that. We know that. It's a klal that the Gemara has in Masechet Brachot, and that the Rambam actually quotes in Pirshei Mishnayot, and the Rishonim actually bring the halacha that, I have my Rambam with me. One of the klalim of the Rambam is that there's a distinction between Nivuah L'Tov and Nivuah L'Ra. And that's based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. In Yirmiyahu, Perek Chet, if you recall, where you have Navi Sheker, Hananya ben Ezor. The first. If you look in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, okay. Thank you. The Gemara has a klal that there's a distinction between the Nevuah L'Tov and the Nevuah L'Ra. The Nevuah L'Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is obligated and must fulfill that Nevuah. It must be carried out. Vashekin Nevuah L'Ra, that's a Nevuah that can be overturned by Tshuva on the part of Klal Yisrael. And the Rambam proves this, he mentions it twice, both in Pirshei Mishnayot, and the Rambam also has this same idea in Hilchot Yisroviyat Torah. And the context, as I said, is the context of the Navi Sheker, in the case of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. If you remember that Hananya ben Ezor, he predicted that everything's going to be honky-dory. Even though Yirmiyahu indicated Churban, that's going to be destruction and things will be rendered desolate, he said no, that's not the case. So the Rambam indicates, and you see it actually from the Psukim there, with reference to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, you see the Psukim almost in a full-throated kind of way. Maybe we should see the Psukim first and then we'll look at the Rambam. Look here in Yirmiyahu for a second, you'll notice Perek Chavchet Chotet. Here it is. Perek Chavchet, we'll start reading over there. ויהי בשנה ההיא בראשית מלך צדקיהו מלך יהודה, בשנה הרביעית בחודש החמישי, אמר אלי חנניה בן עזרא הנביא, השם מגיבו בבית השם לעיני הכהנים וחלם לעיני כל מה השם צעקות אלוקי ישראל, ולמור שבעתי את אור מלך בבל. ועוד שנתיים ימים אני משיב על המקום הזה את כל כלי בית השם. It's a tremendous prediction, very positive prediction. אשר לקח נבוכדנצר מלך בבל מן המקום הזה ויהי בבל, וכולו וכולו. And what does ירמיהו say to him? פסוק ה' ו' ז', היום ירמיהו הנביא, אל חנניה הנביא, לעיני הכהנים ולעיני כל העם, עומדים את השם, היום ירמיהו הנביא, אמן, כן יעשה השם. הלוואי, יקים השם את דבריך, השם ייבאתו להשיב כלי בית השם, בכל הגולה, מדבר למקום הזה, אך שמענו הדבר הזה, אשר אנוכי דובר באזניך ובאזני כל העם. הלוואי, that what you said should be מקוים, the positive נבואה, נבואה חיובית, but he tells him the following, הנביאים אשר היו לפני ולפניך מן העולם, וינבאו לארצות רבות ולממלכות גדולות, במלחמה ולרעה ולדבר. הנביא אשר ינבא לשלום, בבוא דבר הנביא, יוודא הנביא אשר שלחה השם באמת. Similar to what we just discussed a moment ago. The Rambam, Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah. Namely, a Navi, שמנבא לשלום. So when the דבר הנביא is realized, then it's clear that he is a Navi אמת. ויקח חנניה הנביא את המותה מיד צבא לימיה הנביא, וישברהו. ויאמר חנניה לעיני כל העם. נאמר, כה אמר השם, ככה אשבור את אור נבוכדנצר מלך בבל, בעוד שנתיים גלים מעל צבא כל הגויים, וילך ירמיהו הנביא לדרכו. And then we have the following psukim, and again, it's rather באריכות רבה, but as we know, of course, the words of חנניה הנביא were not realized. And the Rambam derives from this entire section the following principle, that the distinction between נבואה לטוב and נבואה לרע. It's based on the Gemara in Masechet Brachot. The Rambam here quotes it, the halacha, I'm just trying to find the language of the Rambam, but the derivation is dafka from both psukim with reference to Yirmiyahu HaNavi and the Navi Sheker Hananya ben Azur. פרק י' הלכה ד', רמב"ם מסכת הלכות בסדרי התורה, דברי הפורענות שהנביא אומר, כגון שיאמר פלוני ימות, או שנה פלונית רעב, או מלחמה וכיוצא בדבר אלו, אם לא עמדו דבריו בזה, אין בזה הכחשה לנבואתו. ואין אומרים הנה דבר ולא בא. Why? שהקדוש ברוך הוא ערך אפיים רב חסד, ונלחם על הרעה, ויאפשר שעשו תשובה ונסלח להם כאן שנינבא. או שתלה להם כחזקיה. אבל הוא הבטיח על טובה, הוא אמר שיהיה כך וכך, ולא באה טובה, שאומר בידוע שהוא נביא שקר. נדעת רק את היסטוריה חנניה בן עזרא, זה נביא שקר. שכל דבר טובה שיגזור הקהל, אפילו על תנאי אינו חוזר. ולא מציל שחזר בדבר טובה, אלא בחורבן ראשון שהצליח לצדיקים שלא ימותו, עם הרשעים וחזר בדבריו. צלפי מסגמר במסכת שבת. כל אמרת שבדברי הטובה בלבד ייבחן הנביא. הוא שירמיהו אמר בתשובתו לחנניה בן עזור, שהיה ירמיהו מתנבא לרעה וחנניה לטובה. אמר לו לחנניה, אם לא יעמדו דבריי, אין בזה ראיה שאני נביא שקר, because it might be, כלל יסודו תשובה, and there won't be any חורבן. אבל לא יעמדו דבריך, ייבדה שאתה נביא שקר. שנאמר, אך שמענו את הדבר הזה, הנביא אשר ידבר שלום, ולא דבר הנביא, ייבדה הנביא, אשר שלחה השם באמת. By the way, this is an issue, same issue that's relevant, if you remember the context of Yaakov Avino. Vayira Yaakov Mo'od Vayetzo Lo. So Chazal say, why was Yaakov so frightened? So Rashi quotes, Shema Yigro Machet. And the question is, but here HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hivtiach Lo L'Tova. And Klal the Rambam is very clear. Sheish Haftacha L'Tova, there should be no problem. There's nothing to be concerned about. Hashem has to fulfill, has to realize that Nivuah. So apparently, there seems to be an exception. The exception is Shema Yigul Machet. I mean, it needs a whole discussion, a whole deal. But anyway, that's the basic law that the Rambam has regarding the issue of Nevuah L'Tov as opposed to Nevuah L'Ra. But in general, the rule of thumb, the Rambam, is the one that we follow. I just noticed again, the language of the Rambam, Pamim Harbe, doesn't really detail the number of times that the Navi has to predict an item, and that prediction has to come true. Back in Shmuel, in Perek Dalid, we have here the following story. We're going to discuss the story more precisely, more specifically, Yitz Hashem, in the future, in the near future. But just right now, to get an overview of what happens in Perek Dalid. It's a well-known chapter. Vayitva Shmuel v'chol Yisrael. Vayitza Yisrael v'krap plishtim ha-milchama v'yachanu ala eben ha-ezer. V'plishtim chanu ba-afek. We will be discussing this Evan Ha'ezer, because this Evan Ha'ezer is a source of much discussion among the Dalai Rishonim, Parshanei HaMikra. What exactly are we referring to? And you'll notice that this Evan Ha'ezer appears twice. It appears once here in Perek Dalid, and then again it appears a second time, as we'll see in a bit, in Perek Zayin, also of Sefer Shmuel. What exactly is this Evan Ha'ezer? Are we talking about a stone? Are we talking about a particular geographic locus? Very unclear. And if we are talking about a specific geographic locus, where is it located? So, of course, student arrived. He will tell us exactly where it is, undoubtedly. I don't say that cynically, I say it quite seriously. He's quite familiar with all of these spots. Okay, we'll discuss that also. I don't want to detail this, I'm going to talk about it.
Well, we're talking about the geographic stuff, the end of Perek Gimel, and Midan Lebe Sheva. Is that the geographical extent of the country? The
I would say so, yeah.
Okay. The dam's up in the north.
Up north, and the Sheva's down south, correct. Vayachu Plishtim, the Krag Yisrael, and we have a imminent war about to take place. Patitosha Nuchama, Vayinogef Yisrael, with Nei Plishtim. Vayakub amaracha basadeh ki arba'at alafim ish. 4,000 people are killed in this skirmish, called more than a skirmish, with the Plishtim, but the language is clear. Vayinogef Yisrael lifnei Plishtim. Vayavo ha'am el ha'machaneh, I'm going to discuss this in Mitzvah Shem separately. Vayavo ha'am el ha'machaneh, vayamuzik nei Yisrael, lama v'kafanu Hashem hayom lifnei Plishtim? What happened? Why did this occur? Nikha aleinu mishiloh et aron brit Hashem is a classic pasuk. We will take the Aron HaKodesh and it will solve all our problems. The panacea for all ills. V'yavo b'kibeinu v'yoshienu nikaf oyveinu. V'yishlach ha'am shiloh v'yisur misham et aron brit Hashem tzva kodesh shev akubim v'sham shnei b'nei Eli im aron brit ha'elokim chafni u'pinchas. V'yikvo aron brit Hashem al ha'machane v'yorei kol Yisrael tzva gdola ותהום הארץ. וישמעו פלישתים את כל התורה ויאמרו, מכל התורה הגדולה הזאת מחנה הערבים. וידעו כי ארון השם בא אל המחנה. And of course, the irony is, ויהיו הפלישתים כי אמרו, בא אלוקים אל המחנה. ויאמרו, אוי לנו, כי לא הייתה כזאת את נול שלשום. אוי לנו, מי יצילנו מיד הוא אלוקים האדירים האלה? אלה הם הוא אלוקים המקים את מצרים, look at the emunah that the Plishtim have, as opposed to our emunah, if you will. Hitchasku b'yu alashim Plishtim, penta abdula ivrim kasher abdula chem, v'yitem lanashim minuchantem, v'yilachamu Plishtim, v'yinaget Yisrael, v'yinusir ish li'olav, v'atiyah makam gdola mod, v'yipol Yisrael 30,000 ragli, 30,000. V'aron elokim lukach, u'shnei v'nehili meitu chafiyu pinchas. ויארץ איש בנימין מאמר רחב ויבוא שלו ביום ההוא, מדב קרועים באדמה על ראשו, ויבוא בני אלי יושב על כיסא, יד דרך מצפה, כי היה ליבו חרד על ארון ואלוקים, והאיש בא להגיד בעיר ותזעק כל העיר. וישמע אלי את כל הצעקה ויאמר מה כל ההמון הזה, והאיש מיהר, ויבוא ויגיד לאלי, ואלי בן 98 שנה, ועיניו קמה ולא יכול לראות. ויאמר האיש אל אלי, אנוכי הבא מאמר רחב, ואני מאמר רחב, נסתי היום, ויאמר, נהה יהדה והבני, היען המבשר ויאמר, נס ישראל לפני פלישתים, וגם מגפה גדולה הייתה בעם, גם שני מלאך המתו, חפני ופנחס, וארון אלוקים מול ככה. ויהי כסקירות ארון אלוקים, ויפול מעל כיסא אחורנית, ביד יר השע, ותשווה מאפקתו בימו, כי זקן האיש וכבד, ושפט ישראל בים שנה, וחלתו אשת פנחס הרע ללט, ותשמע את השמועה, והיא לקח ארון אלוקים, ומת חמי אבישה, ותכרה בתלד, כי נפקו עליה ציריה, וכעיד מותה, ותדברנה ניצבות עליה על צירי, כי בן ילדת ולא ענתה, ולא שעת על ליבה. ותקרא נער איך עבור לימור, גלה חבור מישראל, אלי לקח עבור אלוקים ולחמי אבישה, ותאמר גלה חבור מישראל, כי נלקח עבור אלוקים. Let's go a bit further. We're going to this Hashem, go back, don't think we're going to cover so many tzukim, such gram. I just want to get the overall view and then come back to an issue. ופלישתים הלכו את ארון האלוקים, והביאו מאבן העזר, אשדודה. Again, אבן העזר. ויקחו פלישתים את ארון האלוקים, ויביאו אותו בין דגון, ויציגו אותו עצו דגון, וגוד, וישכימו אשדודים ממחלת, והנה דגון נופל לפניו ארצה, לפני ארון השם. ויקחו את דגון, וישיבו אותו במקומו. וישכימו לעבוד ממחלת, והנה דגון נופל לפניו ארצה, לפני ארון השם. בראש דגון ושתי כפות ידיו כרותות על המפתן. רק דגון נשאר עליו. Essentially, the upper half was eliminated of his body, and the lower half remained of this gentleman, Dagon. Okay, lo yidruchu kanei Dagon v'chala ba'im beit Dagon amistam Dagon v'yashdod ad hayom hazeh. They were rather frightened by what happened. V'tichbal yad Hashem el ashdodin v'yishimen v'yachutam batchorim et ashdod v'et buleha. V'yu anshi ashdod kichayim v'yamru lo yeshev aron elokei yisrael imanu ki kashta yado aleinu v'yal Dagon eloheinu. וישתכו ויעשו את כל שדים פשטים עליהם, ויאמרו מה נעשה לארון על ישראל, ויאמרו גת יסוב, ארון אלוקי ישראל, ויסיבו את ארון אלוקי ישראל. Let's move the ארון out of our territory to a different terrain, to גת. ויהי אחרי יסיבו אותו, ויתיאר השם בעיר, מהומה גדולה אמור, ויחת אנשי הערים מכתום והגדול, ויסתו להם תחורים. תחורים refers generally, they say, hemorrhoids. That's the translation of תחורים. וישלחו את ארון אלוקים עקרון, ויקבע ארון אלוקים עקרון, ויזכרו הכהנים לאמור, היסבו אלי את ארון אלוקי ישראל, להמיתנו מיית עמי, not in my backyard. וישלחו ויעשו את כל שדני פלישתים, ויאמרו שלחו את ארון אלוקי ישראל וישלו במקומו, ולא ימית אותי מיית עמי, כי הייתה מעומד מוות בכל העיר, כבדה מאוד יד אלוקים שם. ואנשים אשר לא מתו הוכו בת חורים, ועתל שבת העיר השמיים. Okay, I'm just, the reason why I focusing on this because I want to now do a bit of a comparison between two stories, and I'm not going to go back, but I'm just selecting one particular story. Namely, I want to examine for a moment, and this is going to introduce this entire to these two pakim, Perek Dalet and Hey, the death of Eshet Pinchas, which is described over here, namely the daughter-in-law of Eli HaKohen, starting from Sukkim Yudchet and Perek Dalet. That's going to the end of the Torah, going to Pasuk Kavet. And again, if you look at the Pesukim, starting from Yutet, after Eli's death is described, V'chalato eshet Pinchas hara lalat, V'atishma et hashmua elohi lokach aron elokim, U'beit chami avisha, V'atichra v'teled, ki nefchu alecha tzireha. U'cheit muta, V'atedaber na nitzavot aleha, al tiri, ki vein yalaret. V'lo anta, ולא שתה ליבה. ותקרא נער איך עבור לימור, גלה עבור מישראל, אלי לקח ארון האלוקים, ילך אבי אבישה, ותאמר, גלה עבור מישראל, כי נלקח ארון האלוקים. And when we read these psukim, one is almost automatically reminded of the death of another Eshet Chayil, namely, the death of Rachel. And you'll notice, the Midrash already has drawn an analogy between these two. The Midrash writes, שלוש הן שנתקשו בלידתה ומתו. There were three women who had difficulty in childbearing, and they died. רחל, ואשת פנחס, ומיכל בת שאול. And this is the subject of a lot of discussion among many. And let me just, perhaps, by way of analogy, draw your attention to a number of analogies between the two psukim, or the two sipurim, rather, the two stories. Firstly, here, פסוק יתת, ותכרה, the Navi describes the labor that she was undergoing. Now take a look if you can hold your finger in two places at the same time. Breshit Lamedhei, Perek Lamedhei, Pasuk Yizayim. So there, the Torah tells us, Perek Lamedhei, Pasuk Yizayim, Vatelet Rachel, Vatikash Bedidita. Similar language that's used in both of these mikrim. Secondly, look here again, Paragdal Pasukaf, again describing the birth. Ukeid muta v'tadaber na nitzavot aleha al tiri ki ben yalaret v'lo anita v'lo shata liba. there, Beshiva Medhe Pasuk Yud Zayin, that Tom Elam Yaledet Al Tiri, Ki Gamze Lach Be. Thirdly, take a look at the two names that were given by the two mothers. The name that's given over here, in Perek Dal Pasukaf, Batikra, Pasukapala. Batikra Lana Yikabod. Leimor Gala Kabod Yisrael, and Lokach Aron Elokim, Yochamia Visha. In Breshit, Lamedhei Pasuk Yitchet, Batikra Shimo Ben Oni. Again, we're referring to two tragedies, and the name, of course, is reflective of the two tragedies. Fourthly, in both cases, what happens to the Yoledet, the woman who gave birth? She dies in childbirth. Here, in Perek Daled Pasuk Kaf, the Navi describes Ukeit Muta, and in Breshit, Lamed Hei, Pasuk Yutet, the death of Rachel in the course of the child being born. And these are the obvious areas of analogy between the two stories. And already in the Midrash, as I said, you have the analogy is drawn without getting into detail. However, many have already pointed, someone referred me to an article by Rav Bazak, Amnon Bazak, where he points out to another analogy, which is certainly of interest. And that is, both cases, the death of Rachel, and here the death of Eshet Pinchas, come as a result of an article that has been taken. And this is what Rav Bazak investigates. And this is the subject of a very fascinating discussion, which I hope we'll have shortly. The death of Rachel, if you recall again, look at Bereshit, Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yutet, comes, according to Chazal anyway, as a result of an incident that occurred. And what incident are we referring to? So Chazal tell us the incident, of course, is the pilfering of the Trafim on the part of Rachel. This is in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yutet. Vayetze. V'Lavan halach l'gzoz esono, v'tignov Rachel et ha'trafim asher li'aviha. And if you recall the Pasuk Lamed Bet, a little bit later, after Yaakov was accused by Laban of Gnev Adat, and all kinds of other accusations, the Pasuk says in Lamed, V'atza halach halachta ki nichsof nichsaf lebet avicha, lama ganafta et Elohai. The finger is pointed at Yaakov Avinu for pilfering, for stealing the God of Laban. And if you remember, in Pasuk Lamed Bet, Yaakov quickly responds, Vayan Yaakov Ayomel Laban, Ki Areti, Ki Amarti Pen Tigzol Benotecha Meini, Ima Shefimtza Et Elohecha, Lo Yichye. Yaakov cursed the person who will be responsible for this act of thievery. Neged Achinu Akelecha Amayim Adi V'kach Lach, Lo Yada Yaakov Ki Rachel, Ginavata. Similarly, back over here in Sefer Shmuel, the death of Eshet Pinchas actually also emerges as a result of an event that occurred. Essentially, what event? The abduction, if you will, of the Aron, of the Aron HaKodesh, Bidei HaPlishtim. Here in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yutet, Lavi reports, Batishmai Tashmua. El hilakach aronu elokim, umeit chamia v'isha, batichra bateled, ki nefchu aleha tzivah. Also a connection between the two stories. Each story apparently is precipitated by a chepetz that is taken. In one case, the trafim, and the chazal say clearly, the Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu cursed, lo yichyeh, the person who is guilty of this particular event. And here we have the Nefilat Aron, B'dei Plishtim, seems to be so shattering that it's the source of the death of Eshet Pinchas.
But she wasn't responsible for it.
Nachon.
You said that Rachel was responsible for it.
Oh, okay. Clearly there's a distinction between the two.
I can't really see why it was wrong to take the Aron Hashem anyway. So we hear that there's Achdutim on Israel. First time they have
okay.
That everyone accepts.
I'm not yet focusing on the issue. I will bring that up, discuss the matter, because it certainly needs a fair amount of discussion. And right now I'm just focusing on this, but I believe
that... It sounds like she died because they shouldn't have taken the...
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I already pointed out before, even though you didn't like this diuk, if you recall, several weeks ago, that here, notice the Seder Hadvar. So I was thunderstruck by the Seder Hadvarim, if you remember. Correct. First, the Aharon Elohim, that's number one in terms of priority. And then, her husband, her father-in-law, that seems to be secondary. So I believe, I don't recall who reacted, but someone here reacted negatively to my deal, because this reminded me of the psukim, if you remember, in the context of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. The Chazal also taking the test. If you remember, with Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, they're more concerned about their flock, about the flock in the enclosure than they are about their own family, about their own children. Somehow the priorities seem to be a bit askew. So I think Johnny was the one who reacted.
You
say that? No, but still, hold on.
I remember I said that Sa'ili knew his family was Ghana, and that's why he reacted to
it. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, so maybe it was the doctor. Always blame the doctor.
But that at least now, it could be, if you really take the shot, that they were sleeping with everybody else's wives, so maybe she really didn't care so much that they're asking about.
Ooh,
whoa! Philippe playing? I hope that was not her.
I wonder why Chamiya
v'Isha, why not Isha v'Chamiya? First of all, it means you take the Pshutuk Mashmo, in terms of the, despite the Gemara, Kolom, Ebenezi, Chatu, Enel, Le'Toreh, but we're taking those Rishonim,
we'll
pass your shot, we'll assume otherwise.
Mm-hmm. But if she's married to one of the leaders of the nation, shouldn't the leaders of the nation be more concerned about the whole nation than about their own personal situation?
Again, that's,
And
you're saying that's the Aharon Elohim.
Yeah, no, not just that, but
that's what you're both arguing. See, I told you that you argued as well.
I said I'm not saying
it's mukhlach, that I can't be acting. Hold on, I found it to be... I don't think, again, I would say that's not relevant here, that klal, and that klal also needs... explication when it applies, when it doesn't. I don't think it applies to you. Okay, but I heard all your reactions, and I think I'm not saying she'en dvarim
b'go. All it's saying is that she heard about it first.
And then when she says at the end about why she calls him a chabad?
Yeah, but the language is.
That's why she names her son that.
Right.
That doesn't mean that was what was more important to her. That's just, she gave, that's
I agree, it's not
Mishra.
Okay, I'm not
saying that. But it just says,
no, but it seems that was because, shall we say, because we don't fully understand why she died, unless she died in labor simply as a function of labor, which happens at least then, certainly. It was not uncommon.
Went into labor prematurely or whatever, because of the shot loss.
Right.
Exactly, that's
second,
exactly my point.
Second Shmuel. Nothing happens.
No, but I would put them together. I don't think
fine, but you can't say that she only reacted to the first.
It's certainly more of a shock that the Aaron was taken. Right?
Okay.
The dumber you do it,
you're saying,
first
of
all, nothing's going to happen to the Aaron.
I see.
The Aaron
will
take care of himself, right? People die.
Aaron will say it himself. And Chazal said, you know, Basel, Mashem came the people. Okay, let's say. Okay.
Yes, can I have a second? Yeah.
Was that? No, I'm coming back. I'm not examining this matter. The analogy, just give me a few more minutes. So, just in terms of examining the analogy with Rachel, as I said, in Chazal, and actually in the Pasuk itself, it seems that the death of Rachel comes as an onesh for the gichat ha-tfachim, for the stealing, for the pilfering of the tfachim. And as I said, Yaakov himself indicates the one who has these gods, lo yichyeh. And... the language, by the way, is very precise there in the pasuk. But tignov Rachel etat tfafim asher liavia, and it says later on again, repeat, v'lo yada Yaakov ki Rachel kinavata. So we speak about an act of gineva. Question, and this is a question that's often asked in that parsha. Why did Rachel steal the tfafim? We don't fully understand what exactly was the motive behind the theft, and assuming there was a motive, which clearly there wasn't, the Pasha Emi Kra talk a lot about it, why was it so chamur? Mm-hmm. So chamur that it would be deserving of the death penalty. So Rashi comments over there Rashi has a very famous comment. Rashi says, "La'afrisha tabia me'avodah zarah mitamah." That was her intent. She wanted to somehow wean him away, as it were, from idolatry. Ki'ilu, this could wean him away from idolatry. It's also very difficult. The makor of Rashi is a medrash. It's a medrash in Bereishit Rabbah. But it's a very difficult explanation that Rashi provides us, because as I said, we don't understand why she then was liable to the death penalty. Was this she deserving of the death penalty? And even Ezra, who asked all these questions on Rashi,
was he just saying like, I'm so sure that we don't have your, you know.
Okay. It still doesn't matter. He still said it to the
Nether. I understand that, but I'm saying, I don't think he was doling out the death penalty.
Okay, you say that. I didn't ask you, I understand what you're saying. Ibn Ezra asks a whole series of questions here on this Rashi. One of the questions Ibn Ezra raises, he says, Ilu hayakein, if Rashi is correct, lama holicha ol ta'ima v'lo tzmantem baderech, why did she take them with her? She, as the Pasuk says, idach nashim li. So why didn't, she should have hit them somewhere. She should have buried them somewhere and hit them. And also, the Chalal, as I said, was very difficult. Ibn Ezra is very troubled by this Rashi. I mean, did Rachel actually think that this is going to wean her father away from Avodah Zarah? It's very difficult to understand. Yeah, that's right. That's correct. The Radak, I'll just again show you a number of the Pashanah Mikra. The Radak suggests over there that why was the Gnevat Tzrafim, why was it done? Kidei shelo yireh behem avia eizeh derech halchu. But the Radak assumes that this is what we spoke about. That you see in Chazal a number of times, it's actually a Medrash Tanhuma, that the Tzrafim apparently have this quality. It's a kli that was used in ancient times for Gilui Atzidot, to reveal that which was hidden. And then we have many, many psukim in Tanakh that indicate this idea. We spoke about it actually, trying to remember when, about 2 years ago. We discussed actually this idea. See, you have a far better memory than I do. But even this is also a bit difficult. Even that Perush seems to be somewhat difficult because, number one, Ibn Ezra, his question of the Esther Rashi is still a question. Namely, why did she take them with her? Why were they hidden on the road? I think that question still remains. And secondly, it doesn't explain the death penalty. Why should she liable for the death penalty? For the act of the Kichat HaTzrafim. Mamshach. If Yaakov's running away from Lavan was not justified, because the Pasuk says, like, no, Yaakov, and Lev Lavan Arami. You never doubt. You never doubt, by the way, Zosher, Ben the Yehudi, Ben the Goy. You can't be going to doubt even from a non-Jew. So if it was not justified, so then basically, who really is to blame? The onus lies on whom? Lies on Yaakov. Hakolat, Talub, Tzavaro, not Rachel. And let's say, it was a Hatzbaka, Yaakov was justified in running away, so then, on the contrary, what Rachel did was simply to assist Yaakov in this running away from Laban. So what's the problem? Very, very difficult, Pasha, Bichlal, to understand. So, somehow, there seems to be something more. And again, and the Mepharshim here, as I said, have a field day. I'll just share with you, perhaps, again, another Midrash, all kinds of Midrashim that discuss the issue of the Tzrafim. And I just want to mention, again, if you look, for example, in Sefer Dvarim, take a look from Perek Yudchet, in Sefer Dvarim, Psukim, Perek Yudchet, Psukim Tet, Yud, Yudalot, Yudbed, Yudgib, Yudalot, on and on. The Torah speaks about, Ram has a field day with these Psukim. These Psukim are very prominent in the Misgeret of the Rambam. Ki asabah la'aretz asher Hashem alokecha notein v'ach, it's Perek Yudchet, in Dvarim, Psukim Tet, let's say all the way to Yudgib, Yudalot, Lo til mad la sochi to avot ha-goyim ha-hein. Raman has a field day with these psukim. He accentuates these psukim. Lo yimatzir b'cha ma'avir b'no b'tabla ish kol sen sanim lo nein menachesh mechashef v'cho b'erchcha v'eva shoel v'yo v'idyoni v'dore shel amitim ki to avat Hashem alokech lo los eilo v'gla to evot yad Hashem alokech lo vishota mipanecha. It's essentially what Raman is saying, what the Torah is saying. There are Raman. Raman says it as well. But the Torah tells us very clearly that for this reason, Hashem Elokecha, Morish Ota Mipanecha. Ki Agoyim Ha'il Asher Ata Yoresh Ota Ve'el Me'onunim Ve'el Kosmi Mishmo V'yata Lo Chei Nota V'cha Hashem Elokecha. V'chulu V'chulu V'chulu. As I said, the Rambam has accentuated the idea of Tamim Tiyer Im Hashem Elokecha. So there is a Midrash. The Midrashim actually in Sefer Bereishit. The following Midrash, I'll just read you the language of the Midrash. The Midrash says that the Pasuk, when Yaakov Avinu tells his family, Hatsiru, V'yitaru v'achlidu sivotichem. Remember that series of psukim, which you get all of Yishonim asked, Pashay HaMikra, what? Avodah Zarah, Beritoh Shakub Avinu? How's that possible? The Yaakov issued such an order, Hasiru t'olhei anecha, Hashem t'olchem, said the Midrash, Limeid, Shelo hayu shan nashav chashudot bekach, Zulati Rachel, Al trafim shel Laban. None of the other wives were chashud, except for Rachel, who stole the trafim of Laban. Furthermore, the Medrash goes on to say, "Vayidu Yaakov et kol olhei anecha Hashem yadam," says the Midrash, "shel avadim shehistiru mibet Shechem, v'gam hatrafim shebiyad Rachel." Unbelievable. The Midrash is saying that, of course, this is in sync and in conjunction with the klala of Yaakov, she was punished. Because apparently, according to this Midrash, with a striking Midrash, as if Rachel conferred some sort of power on the Trafim. That somehow she ascribed a certain koach to these Trafim, and with an astounding Midrash. Rachel Imenu was the one who apparently saw these Trafim as having a certain kind of koach, and that she had a certain part of emunah in these Trafim, and that's what was responsible for her death. Astounding Midrash.
If she's a Nevi'ah, then she maybe is more perceptive to such things anyway. And we have the Olam
Shemesh. Yeah. There's a statement in Chazal, which again, I don't necessarily think is reflected. You can find anything in Chazal. But Dafka with reference to Vatignor Rachel Tzatzfafim. So, at first of all, you have in Chazal a number of conflicting statements. There's a statement in Chazal that the reason why she was punished is not a medrash, that because of Dudayim, the Pasha we just had. And because she was Mezalzil in the Tzadik, therefore she was punished. That's why she was not a non nechnesed imam kfura. So Chazal took it to task for that, even though that Pasha also needs a good degree of explanation. I have a whole malach to explain the Dudaim, but not for now. But I'm saying, but here you have a midrash that speaks very negatively about Rachel, also the Dudaim. But I'm saying in terms of the Trafim. If you look, so now coming back to this Perek Dalet here in Sefer Shmuel, where you have a description of Mapalat Yisrael B'nei HaPlishtim. And as I said, you have a terrible tragedy. 4,000, 30,000 are killed. And we don't understand, all the Parshat HaMikra are concerned about why. What was the reason? You don't understand what the cause of this Mapala was. If you look at the text, we don't seem to have any indication. Generally speaking, the text will connect, if you will, the Chet and Onesh. It's very common in Tanakh to see that. Almost explicitly. Kimat, I can show you many, many places where you have such a connection. I mean, we see the whole Sefer Shoftim, basically, was designed with that in mind. You have Chet, and then Onesh, and then Tshuva, and then the Hatzalah, and then Avi Eskeset, the entire Sefer Shoftim. But B'chlal, not only Sefer Shoftim, we see, again, the Onesh of David and the Pasha Bat Sheva, that's very clear. Again, constantly you see a connection between the Chet and the Onesh. And yet here, when you look at the chapter, you look at the parak, you don't seem to understand the chalal, what's happening here. Exactly. That's what I was about to point out. What Lisa said earlier, it seems to be an ideal situation. How do you explain what's happening here? Pasha Mikra, I just literally going wild. So there is in Tehillim, take a look for a moment at Tehillim, in Mizmor Ayin Chet, you have a remez, the first one points this out, a remez to what's happened over here. Pasuk Nun Vav. Here we're talking about, first, you have a famous discussion of exactly what happened in Mitzrayim and prior to Mitzrayim, and some of the makot in Mitzrayim as well. So now I'm skipping all that. I'm going to after that point, starting from Pasuk Nun Vav. Vayinasu vayamur et elokim elyon ve'elokav lo shamaru. Vayisogu vayibidu kavotam nevchu kekeshet b'miya. Vayachisu bevamotam ufsilehem yakni'uhu. Shamar elokim vayitaba vayimas mo b'Yisrael vayitosh mishkan shilo Ohel Shikain Ba'adam. Vayitel Ashvi Uzo V'tifato B'yatza. Vayaskel Acher Ramo U'menachlato Hitabar. So here you have a reference why Shiloh was Nechlav. Why Hashem abandoned Mishkan Shiloh? Namely, what seems to be the Tam? Pasuk Nunchet. Vayachisu Bevamotam U'silehem Yakmi'u. Meaning, Avodah Zarah. The problem is in Sefer Shmuel,
we don't hear about this.
Neither hide nor hair. Mm-hmm. Not a remez to this chet of Avodah Zarah. Bamotu Tzilin, neither in Perek Dalet, nor in the Prokin that precedes Perek Dalet. You don't have any reference to this. On the contrary, as you pointed out, correct. If anything, if you look at that pasuk, that is the difficult pasuk, that Babadel actually here has a long arichut on this chapter, Perek Dalet. And he asks the obvious questions that all Rishonim asked, namely, first of all, why was the Aron HaElokim taken into captivity? What chet, what avon do we find here that would justify such an action? Because we don't have any chet, seemingly, which would require such an onesh which is an onesh gadol mod. That's another, I'm going to discuss that in Hashem. Also, very difficult. We don't know, what Eli is not around. And as I said, who exactly? Who initiated? What?
Exactly before that, Devar Shmuel,
Kol Yisrael. Good. Okay, so that. Shmuel
telling
them. Alav Katuv Mikurash. It doesn't say explicitly. And if anything, as I mentioned to you, the pasuk that I was referring to earlier, namely pasuk Gimel, where Vayavoh Ham and Amachaneh, Vayamuz Zikne Yisrael, Lama Nikafanu Hashem, Hayom Lefnei Plishtim, Nichal Leinu Mishilot, Aron Brit Hashem, Viyavoh Bekibeinu, Viyosheinu Mikapoy Beinu. They seem to be Maminim, Bnei Maminim. They're Balei Amunah. People are very strong Amunah.
That's the opposite.
Namely?
They're doing it their right. You know, we'll take the Aron, and the Aron will fight our battles. But you see, the Plishtim are really afraid of it. The Plishtim really have, as you said,
this in other words, like you're saying, which we're going to talk about. Right. Yeah, Abamanel, as he points this, I'll show you, I read his language, Abamanel writes, V'fi she'Yisrael lo shavu el Hashem v'lo b'kshu mimenu tshuva. They were not directing themselves to Hashem. Avo chashvu she'bavu ha'arom yatzilein ha'elokim k'de lishmo ha'arom b'ito. That through the Aron, which became a kind of talisman, I can use the term.
It's a weapon.
Exactly. A kind of weapon, a kind of means to an end. Somehow, they will be there to achieve salvation. Yan Heviyu, I mean the Ababanel. Yan Heviyu, Lihisaged Yimo, Velo Shavu Ar Hashem Elokehem, Hayan Onsham, Shekashlu, Vinaflu, Vishahema Baron Holchu, Velo Kach, with Nerodif. But because they apparently misunderstood, and they placed their hope on this Aron, and in effect, this was a totally incorrect approach, completely inappropriate approach, as opposed to approaching the Baruch Sholam, the Bichvodo V'atzmo. But the reason why I'm mentioning this is because somehow the Emunah in the Koach of the Aron, Ke'ilo, as he said, a weapon which was essentially independent, and the fact that they were able somehow, Minatek et Aron, Me'akadosh Baruch Hu, somehow they severed the Koach of the Aron from Hashem, and the Aron was seen as an independent kind of weaponry. That itself apparently is enough to justify the Mapala of Am Yisrael. So Rav Abanel basically his entire attack here in this entire parak.
But that
way
in the 4,000.
Well, okay. Yeah, again, we don't fully understand. By the way, you have something a little bit later. Let me see if I can find it in Shmuel Bet. Let's see, we're not going to finish what I wanted to do. In Shmuel Bet, Perek Tet Zayin, look there for a moment, and you'll see over there, Perek Tet Zayin, Tzukim, I think it's there, one second. Tzukim, I talk about, if you remember, when you have the merit of Avshalom. Avshalom, his rebellion. Let's
see if I can.
Bergudzayin. One second. You have the, I'm looking for the pasuk that when David HaMelech meets Tzadok HaKohen and the Levim that were with him when they're carrying their own Brit Hashem. And David HaMelech recognizes that the Aron Hashem is just but a representative of the Shekhinah. And that's why he refuses. What? And he tells Tzadok HaKohen to return the Aron HaElokim. He tells him, return the Aron HaElokim, because if I find favor, where is that? Tetvav? Second Tetvav Lamin. Ah, very good, excellent. It's actually earlier. Pasukafei. Tedvav, Pasukafei. Thank you. Vine, right there. So, Perak Tedvav, Pasukaf Dalin. Vine Gam Salog, Kolo Vim, Vito no Simon Aron Brito Lokim, Yatik Aron Lokim, Layala Vyatar, Ad Tom Kolam, Lavor Menayev. Gamma Melch Salog, Hashem, Aron Lokim, Ayev. Iman Sachem, Bene Hashem, Veheshivani, Vehirani, Otovia Dabeim. Vim Koyoma, Locha Fastibach, Ilni Aseli, Kashatol Benan. Exactly the opposite kind of conclusion that we have here, Shmuel Bet, Perek Tetzvav, as opposed to what we have here, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Dalet.
You could also contrast the reaction after they lost all the men with the reaction at the end of Shoftim in the battle between Yisrael and Binyamin. That they went immediately and they asked the Yehoshua Batumim and they asked, what should we do? And it was and eventually they got the right answer and they were victorious. Here, they don't go and they ask the Yehoshua Batumim, what should we do? Like you said, they separate this asking of Hashem from just taking the sore shortcut. We'll just take the Avon with us and we'll
exactly. 100%.
Very deal good. With
and so I just wanted to further add to this, is the when we examine here, again, the psukim with reference to the death of Eli, going back to the view that we made earlier. So when you examine the psukim, again, one has the same impression. This is just to strengthen my view of Tfilah. Maybe the view of the Yilakach Aron HaElokim, that it mentions the fact here in Pasuk Yudchet, previous parak, that the Eli is Zakein, the Kaved, and it says, Yoshev, Pasuk Yigimel earlier mentions, Yoshev Al Kisei, Yad Derech Mitzateh. But as I said, Eli is not waiting to hear of the results of the war, what happened actually in the military campaign, but rather, what is Eli waiting to hear? Pasuk Yigimel, Ki Hayali Bo Chavei, Al Aron HaElokim. That seems to be the focus. And even the person who came to tell Eli HaKohen of what happened, notice again, look how we have actually a dirug here of the different mishaps and terrible tragedies that occurred in this battle. And notice, Bayanam Vaseh Bayomar, Pasuk Yizayin again, if you don't mind. Nas Yisrael Niyad Plishtin. Lisa, see, I'm trying to beat a dead horse. V'gam Magifah Gdolah Haytah Ba'am. V'gam Shnei Banecha Meitu Chavniu Pinchas. V'aron V'elokim Nilkacha. And the reaction of Eli is therefore not surprising. That's what Johnny said before, Acharon Acharon Chaviv. You apply that principle, Vayikas Kirot Aron HaElokim, Vayipol Me'al Kisei Achoranit Vayamat. And those, essentially, what caused the death of Eli? Not the downfall of Am Yisrael, not the death of tens of thousands of chayalim, of soldiers, but rather the Kichat Aron. The Aron, which was a weapon, a kind of semel for Hashrat HaShchina, that seemed to have been the cause of the death of Eli HaKohen. Okay, you'll see that the time has shown the tactic. I wanted to actually focus just a bit more on this, and maybe what I'll do next time, do another, is I will, next time. Hanukkah. Is there an Easter? Hanukkah. That's all right, she used to have this, when we were in Kollel, so of course everyone all of a sudden became a chassid of Nungadon. Everyone's lighting Dafka Shkia. You understand? Not waiting until Tzei for later on. What? I understand. I'm just telling you
story.
Story. So they asked the Rav what to do with the Kollel, because people the Kollel didn't live necessarily there in Washington Heights, so they lived all over. And so now once you go home, you're not going to come back. Lo kedai. So he asked the Rav. Of course, the Rav himself did Mishkiah. He was very metaktik to follow the beginning of the Rav. The Shittat HaRambam. But he said to the Kolel, there's a Meiri. Meiri says, Talmud Torah, Kineged Kula. So he could wait till 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. The Rav had this whole thing anyway that when the Gemara says, Ache, he called it Regal Nashuk. So the Rav had different definitions. First, there's rush hour. Rush hour traffic takes New York City, so probably 2, 3, maybe 4 hours. So therefore, you can certainly ride till much later. And then, after that rush hour traffic, then you have a second traffic. People go to restaurants, go to the theaters, and that probably goes till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. So therefore, you have Baruch Hashem, a speak man, ancient, and that was Rav actually passing Halacha. He held that you have to use Shabbos candles during the week, and the Shabbos candles have to be lit for minimally an hour and a half, corresponding to the traffic, because it's not Chazal. The Rambam said the half hour, the Baruch said the half hour. But given the correspondence to the rush hour traffic, that already goes way beyond that. Okay, so B'ez Hashem, we should hopefully have a shiur.
Thank you.